Welcome to the Fully Express podcast.
We are your hosts, Samantha and Karenna.
This is a show where we invite you into your fullest expressed self in life, relationships, and business. We believe that if you crave more, you are meant for more. There is room for all of us to be fully expressed.
Along with the show, we've created a virtual community to connect you with fellow listeners. Make sure to check out the Fully Expressed community membership. You'll find the link to join in the show notes and on our website.
So excited to see you there.
Enjoy this new episode.
Welcome to the latest episode on the Fully Expressed podcast. Welcome back. We're so excited to have you here. Today, I'm so excited to bring you back for the fourth time, my fiance, as well as Nick Belletto. He is a holistic health practitioner, and we just thought that it would make so much sense to bring him back onto the episode one because he has so much knowledge in this topic. And as you've been listening to the podcast, especially in the last couple of weeks, you've been hearing this trend.
Yes.
It feels like, you know, as Sam as I've been interviewing, which has been completely unplanned, to be frank. None of this has been like, you make sure you talk about this or mention this. Every single guest, when they come on here to talk about health or wellness or even just like in their own personal experiences, there's this deep connection or desire, and they're finding this beautiful dance with the rhythms and the frequencies of seasons.
Yeah.
And so we brought Nick back on to talk specifically about why it's so important to, I guess, live your life kind of listening to the rhythms of the seasons. And that can mean so, so much, honey. So let us know, like, yeah, wherever you want to take it, but how is our health impacted by seasons, and why are we cyclical? Where does that come from? Our evolution, wherever you want to start.
Cool. First thing I want to acknowledge is I think it's so interesting and like funny that we like acknowledge that there are seasons. And I think we acknowledge this in like a lot of different areas of our life. Like, entrepreneurs are always like, there's going to be seasons in your business. And then like, you ask anybody who lives outside of the echo chamber of San Diego, like, what do you really love living about Philadelphia? And they're like, well, I love the seasons. And so like, seasons are embraced in so many other areas of our lives, but seasons in our health is like never thought of, really. Like, people just have goals and they are just pursuing those goals relentlessly and not thinking about, well, what does like the external environment have to do with like what I should be doing for my health? The only area that we really see this at all is like with bodybuilding. Like, in bodybuilding, we get the littlest taste of that, where like you have the summer shred and the winter bulk is what bodybuilders do. And what's funny about that is that they're doing it all completely backwards.
Yeah, you shouldn't be bulking.
Yeah,
you should bulk during the summer and you should cut during the winter, like when you think about evolutionary biology. But that is like the closest that we get to following any kind of cycle in alignment with the seasons. And so I just like, first in speaking to like, why would we think about the seasons differently at all? It's kind of like the first place that I wanted to bring it, which is like, well, we're doing that in all of the other areas of our life. We acknowledge in our relationships that things are going to go through seasons, and people love seasons. They choose to live places other than San Diego, which is insane to me as somebody who doesn't love seasons. But like, people love snow and
or love fall, love, or love the fall.
Summer, you know, like they love all of these different aspects, and your health, your body does too, but you're not giving it to them. So I just want to like start there, is just saying like, there are things to be gained if you were to live in alignment with the seasons, and just kind of address that first kind of query that people might have of like, why would I change anything coming out of the summer?
So but like, why is it important to live by seasons? Right, you kind of mentioned a little bit about evolutionary biology. Like, what does that actually mean?
So I'll tell a story, and it's gonna be kind of a long story, but I hope that it's interesting and it'll be helpful to know. So when it comes to, there's basically two theories of longevity. There is the theory that, you know, we have like a preset amount of resources or a preset number of something super tangible like heartbeats or breaths that we can ever take in our life. And so the people who are on that side of longevity research or even just health span, they think, well, let's slow everything down. And then there's the other side, which is like, well, what if we maximized efficiency? Like, we don't necessarily need everything to go fast, but if we make things more efficient, then we can add more speed when we want to. And so there's these two camps where one camp is trying to make things go super fast and one camp is trying to make things go super slow on like a biological level. And what I have found to be true in my experience is like they're both right. They're just not understanding when they're right, which is the seasons. You would want things to move fast during the summer because how do we make our biology move faster? We feed it more food. We give it more exercise. We give it more sunlight. We give it more and more and more, and it goes faster and faster and faster. But if you were to rev your car's engine forever, it's going to explode. And so that is when you then would transition towards like what is called a winter metabolism, where you purposely slow things down. So you might do some fasts, you might expose yourself to cold, you might eat some foods that actually purposely slow down your metabolism. So like there are these things that we can manipulate with our lifestyle, with our nutrition, to change the way that our metabolism works. And during those periods, you may not be like soaking up the abundance that you have during the summertime, but you're repairing the mechanisms that allow you to experience the abundance. And that's why we really should be making shifts in our health.
What would be some of the benefits of slowing? Like, what do you mean, or what does that look like when you say slowing down the metabolism?
Yeah. So in my personal story, when I was first, I was diagnosed with PTSD, and I was basically exploring the field of holistic health for holistic solutions. And how I came to this theory that I just explained to you was I came across this guy named Ray Peet, who is a doctor who basically was, he really studied nature, and he kind of saw that the things that were thriving in nature were displaying a fast metabolism. And so everything that he taught people through nutritional therapies was to increase your metabolism. And then in the wintertime, he was a proponent of like a lot of different pharmaceutical drugs. So like he would have people on thyroid medications, and he would have people using aspirin and pregnenolone and like all these different hormone replacements, because those hormones naturally come down in the wintertime. And so his kind of train of thought was, let's just do summer all the time. So I started to apply that for myself, and I experienced a lot more summer, and I became a lot more vital and a lot more energetic. But it just so happened that I had done it at the right time of year. And then when I was doing those things in the winter, I was like banging my head against the wall. Like it was clear that I was not lining up. It wasn't working for me anymore. And so I came across this other guy who put forth what he calls the cell danger response, and he explains the healing cycle. And what he basically says is if you try to run on summer metabolism for too long, you run into those problems that I explained earlier. If you rev your car's engine forever, it gives out on you. And so what ends up happening is you're living with summer nutrition, but your cells start running on winter metabolism. And if you look at the standard American, they are overfed but undernourished. So they're not getting enough of the crucial vitamins and minerals to run all their cellular processes, but they're eating a lot of calories, which is why we have like an obesity epidemic. But really all chronic diseases follow this same model. And so what he basically explained was, and to this, I'm going to get to answering your question, Sam.
No, I love this. It's good.
He talked about hibernation. So when bears, for example, hibernate, they are, contrary to what we were taught in elementary school, they're not just going to sleep for the winter. They actually, on a cellular level, they shift their metabolism. So they shift from a summer metabolism to a winter metabolism on purpose. And so they eat all this food during the time of abundance, during the summer. And then they shift their cellular metabolism, which allows them to sleep more. They do sleep a lot more, but they're also just more lethargic and slow. And that gets them through the winter, because if a bear needed this, had the same demands for food and resources during the winter, they wouldn't make it.
Right.
Right. So they lower the amount of activity, and they because they also have lower resources. They can't go get fish. They can't go to the supermarket, you know, like you can. So they shift on a cellular level. And we notice this across the animal kingdom where these shifts happen. And what he has noticed in chronic disease was humans do this too. They have this shift happen when they are exposed to some sort of threat. And it could be an environmental threat. It could be like emotional trauma, like whatever the threat could be. It could even be a physical injury. And so I read all this and I thought to myself, well, if we are seeing throughout the animal kingdom that some animals are doing this voluntarily and humans only do this as a response to threats, would it make sense to be proactive and to voluntarily do the same that the rest of the animal kingdom is? So like, what if during the winter, I purposely shifted towards winter metabolism? And then if in the summer, I'll purposely shift towards summer metabolism. And so that was my working theory. And so last year, I did that. Like I was fasting like every other day, fasting for up to 72 hours at a time. I reduced the amount of carbohydrates that I was eating quite a bit. I would eat foods that most people would say are like low metabolism foods. Like I wouldn't eat inferior fats like canola oils, but I would have a lot of polyunsaturated fatty acids, like a lot more fish and things of that nature. So I was like purposely doing things to slow myself down, and it worked. Like my mental health stayed good through the winter. And then when I added in those summer foods, when we started to have more light, things stayed good. And so when I was like trying to do the summer metabolism thing in the winter, it wasn't working for me. But when I did the winter thing in the winter, it worked. And so I kind of stumbled upon this like purposeful manipulation of our diet and lifestyle to align to the seasons.
I was going to say, I think that's so beautiful that you stumbled upon it, but like it's been clear on our episodes that yeah, other people are also believing in this as well, right? They're just looking at it from different ways. I think Habi specifically was talking about Ayurvedic medicine and the doshas, which I think you studied Ayurvedic medicine too, didn't you? With school?
No, it was the one that I didn't.
That's the one that you didn't study?
Yes.
But with the different doshas is what she uses in. There's like three different doshas. And she's like, it's the same way with the seasons, right? And she talks about so much of the of like even you go through different doshas throughout your day, depending on what's going on. And you're talking about this flexible way of eating or adaptability yeah. way of eating. And I think it just challenges so much of what our society is used to, because we're taught routine, we're taught structure, and you're teaching like, yes, there's structure with season, but there's also this like intuitiveness or connection to your body that is also required throughout this process. Is that fair?
Yeah. I mean, everything generally works. It's just context specific. All these like scientific papers and stuff that say like, this diet is what works for solving this. And then like the exact opposite diet, like also solves that exact same problem. And like, to me, like, I don't think the conclusion is wrong in either of those. Like, I mean, science is science. It's like fairly objective. I mean, you can do bad science, but generally speaking, it's good. Like, you did it the right way. It got published in a major journal, so it's not crap science. So the better question for that I started asking myself was like, why does it work sometimes, but it doesn't work other times?
Yeah.
And I think for me, what I've really landed on is this like seasonality and like purposefully embracing certain aspects in your life and in your nutrition.
What are some things that people can start to really lean into with the new season? I mean, by the time this drops, this will probably be like fall, winter season, which tends to be a very difficult season. So
it's also interesting you're talking about fasting, which I think is so counterintuitive to the holidays.
Exactly, because like everyone wants to eat more. Yeah.
Yeah. But that makes sense too, because like we do slow down. We talked about this with Hadley too. And even in our, yeah, like we do slow down. And as we move towards winter, like we come across New Year's and we come across these times where we're supposed to have energy and make these intentions and all this stuff. And we've had this conversation before together, not on the podcast, but like we don't, neither of us really believe in New Year's in the sense of like setting intentions in the dead of winter.
New Year's is the first day of spring.
Yeah, exactly. And same for astrology. Yeah. New Year's is the first day of spring. So I think it's maybe fair to say, like, it's person dependent, which is why two studies on the same result could lead to the same conclusion, or two studies on the same problem could lead to the same conclusion. But also there's like an overarching theme of following the seasons and following like where our bodies are telling us where we're off, what we need.
Yeah. And to add on that, like, we're also expecting ourselves, to use your language, is like expecting ourselves to operate like we're in summer all the time. Yeah. Right. Which we're all very aware. We do not get sunlight. We also had Jenna on here who talked all about sunlight.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And like, you do get less of it. So something that you've taught me was like the three ways that we get energy, for example. We have an abundant amount of that from the summertime. Is that fair? And then the wintertime, you're just more selective. You don't have access to as much.
Yeah. So this is maybe a fun fact. Most people probably don't know this, but you get 50% of your DNA from dad, 50% of your DNA from mom, but you get 100% of your mitochondrial DNA from mom. So however mom's mitochondria are, congratulations, that's your life. And so a really cool distinction that you can make, especially to apply to the wintertime, is if your mom's ancestry comes from a place where the ground freezes in the wintertime, it's really important that you live differently in the winter than you do in the summer.
Regardless of where you live.
Regardless of where you currently live now, because your mitochondria are... Everybody knows basically that they're the powerhouse of the cell, but they are so much more than that. They really are sensors of the environment. And the environment is your external environment. It's also your internal environment. So like, for example, if your ancestry is like Irish, because I know for sure that it freezes in the wintertime, so I'll pick on the Irish. If you were Irish, first of all, before we started colonizing the world and we started all this like international trade, would you have ever eaten a coconut in the wintertime in Ireland? Fuck no, you wouldn't have. Like, you probably like, didn't even know what a coconut was.
Coconut was, yeah.
And so like the way that technology and innovation is expanding it's expanding so much faster than we are evolving as like cellularly. So we are introducing our cells to things that, I mean, the technology that our cells is built on, it couldn't fathom it. Like, imagine going back even just 2,000 years and handing somebody a cell phone. And like, when you eat a mango in the wintertime, that's what you're doing to your cells. Your cells are like, it's 30 degrees outside. Why are we eating mangoes? Like, I don't know what to do with this. Like, I should be not eating for days. And now I'm getting fed all the time. And we just ate all the time, all summer. So going back to the point I want to make, if your mom's ancestry comes from a place where the ground freezes, you need to do things fundamentally different in the cold months than you do in the warm months. A couple of like really practical things that you can think of. Vitamin D is to the summertime as melatonin is in the wintertime. So in the summertime, if you're a Caucasian, you are meant to get as much sunlight as possible and store up as much vitamin D to get you through the wintertime. But your biology is created in such a way that it knows that you're not going to get a lot of vitamin D because of your ancestry has not had access to it. And so you can think of melatonin, which is the hormone that's responsible for promoting sleep. But it's a lot more than just a hormone. It's also a really powerful antioxidant in your nervous system. So the sun, you know, people are familiar. If you get a lot of sun, you can get sunburn, which is not a good thing, but it's something that happens and it's kind of expected by your biology. And when you get any kind of sunburn, you know, that creates inflammation. It creates this like cascade of like free radicals and other things that cause problems. Well, that's where melatonin is. It's kind of the opposite of that. So any of the inflammation that you create through the summertime of getting all of that sunlight, melatonin cleans it all up for us. But in order to do that, right, during the summertime, we're maximizing our time spent in the sun. During the winter, we have to start maximizing our time spent in the dark. And so we need to, like, the sun goes down at
Five.
Yeah. During the winter time.
It's so hard.
And like,
basically you're saying like no blue light, no nothing. Like we got to go to bed.
Yes.
Like we got to get to the candlelight. So hard.
Like that time period when the sun goes down, but and the time you actually go to bed, like that time period is basically the equivalent of you sunbathing during the middle of the day during the summertime. So sunbathing during the middle of the day during the summertime is like, I mean, it's a non-negotiable for your health. And getting that darkness is the same way during the wintertime. So that is like, that is the number one.
And you're talking like specifically for the audience to like to understand, it's like no blue light, like all the things that would block or mess up your circadian rhythm. It's like getting to that place where you can allow the melatonin to really like flourish in the body.
Yeah, so you have these cells in your eyes. They're called IPRGCs. And so they are intrinsically photosensitive ganglion cells, reticular ganglion cells. So they're light sensitive. So when there is, like you said, blue light specifically. So the sun is a source of blue light, but it's also a full spectrum light. So it doesn't affect us quite the same way that isolated blue light does, like you get from your electronic devices. So if you're exposed to this light, those light sensitive cells in your eyes communicate to a part of your brain called the suprachiasmatic nucleus, the SCN, like, hey, there's light outside. And that communicates to your pineal gland to not produce melatonin. So as long as there's lights, you're not going to produce melatonin, because if you did, you'd be falling asleep during the day. But if you're continuing to expose yourself to that light at night now, you're not producing melatonin. And so you're not getting told by your body it's time for sleep, but you're also not getting that great antioxidant in your nervous system, cleaning up all of the, I don't want to say damage because I don't want people to fear the sun during the summer, but that potential damage that you may have gotten throughout the course of the summertime of being in the sun as much as you should have been.
Is that what you would call oxidative stress?
Yes. Yeah. So the sun.
Good job. I'm not following. These are some big words for me.
The sun can cause oxidative stress when you are not getting enough nutrients and all that good stuff. Basically, oxidative stress is a state where the amount of free radicals exists outdoes your antioxidant systems. And so melatonin is an important part of that antioxidant system. But in the summertime, you're not going to have loads of melatonin because you're getting loads of sunlight.
Right.
And that's cool. But during the wintertime, you need to maximize the amount of darkness.
And it makes sense. In the summer, you have more energy. You have more.
Totally.
Like Hadley even mentioned this. Like we have more opportunity to get things done and we're more productive.
Yeah, and that's also fueled by the food, too.
Yeah.
During the summertime,
light foods.
You know, if you, like, not that you would ever get mangoes in Ireland, but here, for example, in Southern California, you can't get mangoes during the wintertime, but you can get them during the summertime. So the abundance of fruits that we have, these carbohydrates and these energy-giving fuel sources, they are seasonal during the summer, and then they're not seasonal during the winter. It's almost like nature knows something better than we do, but we are like so insistent on fighting it. And so, you know, we watch fucking Netflix until 9 o'clock during the wintertime. We kill our melatonin production.
Which, how does that fuck with us? Because I think being someone in the past, like, you know, winter times are hard. I've said this over and over in the past and on here is like, winter is hard. It can be really hard. And, you know what I think? TV or phones and stuff, they create a dopamine or something that you're searching, you know, maybe you're just like searching for like, well, there's some kind of entertainment here, so I'm just gonna focus in on that. But I don't wake up feeling good the next day, and I feel like it ends up being like a spiral. It just like,
you don't sleep good either.
You don't sleep good. Like I also like end up waking up, I'm like rolling over, I don't wake up feeling refreshed. Like now that I've started to pay attention, even the lights in this room right now, you know, I can feel my eyes being like, I'm done of all this fake light. You know what I mean?
Totally.
They feel tired and they feel exhausted. And we do that in the wintertime even more because you're right. There's days where it gets dark by 4:15, 4:30, at least here in San Diego. I don't know what it is everywhere else. But
I was thinking back to even being a kid, and I'm such an avid reader. I've gotten back into it, but I was such an avid reader and I did not grow up with phones. And I think about the fact that I woke up with energy all the time. And now I see my nieces who are 5 and 7, or even other, like my friends' kids, anyone that like puts an iPad in front of the kids or watches TV late at night. I'm like, oh, they don't wake up with energy. They don't wake up as vibrant as I remember being like, let's go. It's a new day. That makes so much sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. And there's, I mean.
Yeah. So what are the negative effects, or how does it affect us?
Yeah. I mean, both of you guys, I want to touch on this specifically too, before I answer that question. Both of you guys mentioned dopamine, and dopamine is made from an amino acid called tyrosine. And all of the amino acids that tyrosine is a part of, they're called the aromatic amino acids. They actually absorb UV light. They get activated by UV light. And so what that ultimately means, which is kind of a shocking thing to hear, is you can't produce dopamine if you're not getting exposed to UV light. And so to both of your points, you specifically, Corinna, said like, you know, I feel like low vibe during the wintertime. And so like I'm scrolling on my phone looking for dopamine.
Exactly.
That is exactly what you're doing.
Interesting.
Because you're not getting as much sunlight in the wintertime, you're not getting as much dopamine. And so you're going to those devices for dopamine specifically. So I thought that was just really cool that you guys mentioned that.
Yeah. But so is it fair to say that we're not supposed to get as much dopamine in the wintertime? Is that like, I mean, not even supposed to be, just like not there for us because of the sunlight?
Well, yeah. I mean, we could think evolutionarily again, like, or we don't even have to think about us. Just go back to the bear with hibernation. Like, what does the bear need dopamine for?
Yeah, they're sleeping.
He's like, yeah, like
he's resting.
He's not going to go hunt. Like dopamine from an evolutionary perspective, like people will kind of talk about it as like the reward neurotransmitter. What are you going and doing evolutionarily that you're getting a reward, that you would even need to get a reward for?
And if you think of those cold climate places, I mean, we're very blessed here that we get sun almost year round. But I think about like Chicago or any of these, you know, anywhere in the Midwest or even like in England, in those areas, you are slowing down. Like before gyms, like no one was going to the gym. You know, you weren't going out for a run necessarily, or the majority of people weren't during the dead of winter. So you are like relaxing more, resting more, probably reading more as well before TVs and everything.
Yeah. Historically.
Historically.
Not anymore.
Not anymore.
And that's why we have such a sick country, is we're like expected to produce the same way in the summer, in the winter, as we do in the summer. And that's just ass backwards.
And so I'm going to ask a question that maybe listeners are thinking, because I'm thinking this. It's like, well, what's the dance with like, well, I struggle with seasonal depression. You know, maybe it's our relationship to seasonal depression. I don't know. So like, are there things, it's an interesting balance, right? I'm like, do I, as I'm hearing you, it's like, do I live the next couple months living seasonally, being comfortable being lethargic, being comfortable being low mode, and like really creating a relationship with like being present with like, I can't execute as much. I can't show up as much as I used to. And like, which is like a whole thing and a whole spiral that can happen, with the balance of like, are there supplements that can also be supportive during those months to help us adapt to the lethargicness? But in my mind, I'm like, well, why would I want to contradict what my body actually wants? You see where I'm going with? As a listener, it's like,
how do you fit in?
How do you,
days
how, diet? Like, how do you, yeah, like, what's how do you balance there? Because I mean, people do, their mental health really does
drop
significantly. Or not time.
I could just be like, I'm going into my hibernation in 3 months later.
And not just that, but like, I mean, that takes a lot of internal work to get to a place where you feel comfortable being in hibernation.
Yeah,
that's what I'm saying too. It's like, are, do you recommend supplements during that time to help support you during your lowest seasons? Do you actually recommend not to and letting your body do its thing? Like, what's the balance there? Because like, it's hard, you know, I was going to say it's hard.
I was going to just add to that, just because it goes along with your question, is like, what about the blue blocking? Like, is it a matter of, okay, I'm realistically not going to not go on my phone at 6 p.m. at night in the winter, but like, can I mitigate that somehow to not fuck up so badly my systems during the whole of winter?
I mean, there's levels to this shit, you know, like
give us the levels, tell us, because I'm sure there's people listening that are like really bad, and some of us that have been like me or Corinna, who, and you, who have, well, you're like the expert, but us who have been doing some of the work, and we're like, okay, maybe we could take it to like a higher level.
I mean, like I was writing a post about this the other day, and I mapped out like 4 different levels to, I would just say, like your light environment overall. And like level 4, the level that we would all aspire to be, is that you have no I'll say at least no artificial light at night, that you wake up slightly before sunrise every day and you witness sunrise, and then you have your office outside and you would be outside all day long. And
we all want that. I mean, I'm down for that.
That's level four.
Clearly, I feel good all the time.
But that's in the winter, too. So you'd be outside. You'd be freezing your ass off.
Oh, yeah, in the cold. True, yeah.
Which I can explain why that's actually good for you, too. But that's like level four. Level three is like, again, I would say absolutely no artificial light at night. You get up slightly before sunrise, and then you get 30 minutes of midday sun exposure. If you could do those three things, like, you're way ahead of most people. Level two
And really quick, because Jenna Lee Hoffman mentioned this too in her energy, like where she talked about the sun and energy, but she also said it's maybe you don't get as much of the benefits as direct sun, but she also suggested like going out in
either way.
Yeah, either way, like whether there's clouds or not, you want light.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah. So, I mean, during the summertime here, we regularly are getting like 10 UV to even 12 UV and already, and it's still like kind of around the same temperature. It's within 10 degrees of peak summer right now, but the UV is all the way down like four at peak.
Okay.
And so during the wintertime, you may not get hardly any UV, but getting, you know, 30 minutes of UV one is better than 0 minutes. Right?
Got it.
So that's like, that's level three. Then level two, I would say, is no artificial light at night. Get up slightly before sunrise and see sunrise. And then level one is no artificial light at night. And to answer your question, like blue light glasses can definitely work for mitigating the amount of artificial light that at night that you're exposed to. The important thing with blue light glasses, and if you Google blue light glass test, you can find, you'll see this, the three overlapping circles. If you take the test with your glasses, basically, if your glasses are clear, they're not blocking blue light. And if your glasses are yellow, they're still probably not blocking blue light. Like, you want those ridiculous looking.
Oh, like the orange ones?
Glasses.
Orange. So mine do nothing, basically.
Yeah.
I hit the clear one.
Yeah.
Like, I've been really wanting these ones that are like they're looking like $150, like $200. And I'm like, I'm going to do that this summer.
Yeah.
Maybe we're going to invest those like immediately, because I do feel such a difference. The other thing that you taught me too, that we have on both of our phones, he changed the setting, and I don't know if we can tell people how to do this. Maybe you can create a reel.
You can reach out to me and I have a full guide on how to do this.
But he can change it.
Oh yeah. I want to know.
For those that are watching it at night, but it doesn't. Like, you know, like, I know it's hard. Like, for example, like, we turn it, like, before bed, we'll turn this on. And then, like, when we wake up, sorry, for those that are watching, you can see the red.
Yeah. It turns,
it lowers
red,
it
so it blocks
substantially,
out the blue light. It lowers it a lot. And I already feel so much better. I'm like, wow, my eyes can rest. Yes, it's not perfect, but I can actually still use it in a lot of ways. And I really, like, it kind of helps meet me in the middle, because, like, the first hour at a bed, like, I do try and avoid it, but then I'll get on and like check my phone real quick. Where am I? What time is it? You know, I can't like fully avoid not being on it for the first hour, but this is really supportive as well.
Yeah, there's lots of little tips and tricks. So Sam was mentioning her phone like automatically changes the scale of blue light that's emitted. Like, you can turn that setting on iPhones. And then Brennan was showing you guys, you can set up your phone, the triple click, and it'll be completely red spectrum. There's this great app on computers called Flex that you can download, which basically you just tell it like where you're at geographically, and it'll darken your computer throughout the day and brighten it during the day.
Oh, that's
so
cool.
There's great like biohacks that you can do to help with this. You know, light candles at night rather than turning
you
on the lights.
You got us on, me and Austin, onto that.
I love the candles.
And we always over. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
It's a game changer.
I love the candles. No, it's amazing. It's so romantic. It just feels like otherworldly and like it feels so good.
Yeah.
We also replaced our nightstand. We only have one nightstand, but we replaced it with a red light.
Yeah.
So then right when we get in the room, it's like only red light and the candles.
Yeah. The thing that really made a difference for me last winter was I had to be at work by 7 a.m. And so I was getting up at 5:30. And I made a really hard and fast rule with myself that I wasn't going to expose myself to blue light until the sun came up. And so, like, I had a candle waiting for me at my bedside table, and I would light it, and then I would take a candlelit shower, and then I was cooking my breakfast by candlelight.
That's kind of awesome, though.
It's
actually really nice to wake up that way, especially
it was amazing.
At that time.
Yeah.
I was surprised.
Yeah.
Now we have our salt lamp.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, we have a salt lamp.
The Himalayan salt lamps, again, not perfect because it is mostly blue light, but the pitch of it is just a lot
less
dimmer.
Mm-hmm.
We're getting just like the old school lights, you know, before we replace everything with like these are super bright LEDs.
They're so gross.
Yeah, you can look into like the brightness of one of these LED lights is like 10 times or 100 times brighter than the sun.
We're just poisoning ourselves yeah, over here
it's
during
just
this
like absolutely insane. So
I know, I think about all these people working in office buildings with the fluorescent lights and you're just like,
oh my God. Yeah, like
so bad.
I mean, I would just have an awful headache being exposed to that all day long.
Yeah.
So yeah.
So if you have the orange glasses, you put them on like right when the sun goes down?
Yeah.
And then you leave them on all night?
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah. So I do like the triple click when sun goes down on my phone and then, put the glasses on. Then you can still enjoy some television or whatever into the evening and it'll probably be okay. But what I was going to say about like supplements or, you know, should we try to like, how should we mitigate having to live the life that we have to live in America during the wintertime is I think that most people would be pretty surprised how energized they are if they allowed themselves to dedicate to this type of living for a couple of weeks. Because remember, all of this is built on the premise that your biology was meant for this. And so, yes, like we are meant to shift towards this winter metabolism and we aren't meant to be as productive and we're not meant to push quite as much. But we wouldn't have this hardwired into our biology if it felt terrible. Like it should, and in my experience, it does feel better actually than like trying to live the same way that you did in the summer in the wintertime. So like fasting during the wintertime or during the summertime is really hard because your biology is like, bro, we need resources. It is hot outside. There's a lot of sun. Like
you're also doing a lot.
Doing a lot.
Yeah. We got so much on the weekends.
Yeah. And then fasting during the wintertime, it's like, it's not nearly as difficult.
Can you share with them what your fasting it looks like? It's not hard from what
you
told. Like and also, we did last time. We're not talking about days of fasting.
No, there's levels of fasting too. You know, so like I'll do like a monthly 72-hour fast, but you can. I'm going to get on my soapbox for a second. One of the worst mistakes that people make with fasting is that they fast from dinner to dinner, but dinner happens when the sun is down. And evolutionarily, again, you would never have been eating a meal with the sun down because we didn't have the technology to cook or to see your food or any of that. So if you want to start doing a fast and you want like level one would be fasting breakfast to breakfast because breakfast or even lunch is eaten during the daylight and the day light.
Meaning eat breakfast and then don't eat until the following
breakfast.
Yes.
Yeah.
The daylight is a really important stimulus for your metabolism, which is why your metabolism slows down during the wintertime. So if you want to fast correctly, you should eat when there's daylight. So you could fast lunch to lunch is perfectly fine. So I eat lunch on Monday. I don't eat dinner on Monday. I don't eat breakfast on Tuesday, and then I eat lunch on Tuesday. And so that would be approximately 24 hours, and you went lunch to lunch. What most people who are like in the fasting community would say, if you eat any time in a day, you didn't fast in a day. So if you want to do a day of fasting, it's a whole breakfast, lunch, and dinner. So in that case, you could go, dinner, eat dinner on Monday, then you don't eat all day Tuesday, then you eat breakfast on Wednesday. I think those two practices for most people would go a long way, even just like one fast per week.
And then also just want to say, because I've learned, and you can say yes or no, but like for women, because we have our cycle, I used to fast way more and I started having negative side effects, I think, from doing it incorrectly. But I think from what I've read, it's don't fast on your period and don't fast when you're ovulating. Would you agree with that?
Yeah. I mean, really, like,
does it matter? I don't know.
Women can get the same benefits again, like if your mom's ancestry had it so that the ground froze, they would still get the benefits. But if you again think like evolutionarily, if men ever went out hunting and they successfully killed something in the dead of winter, they were feeding the women and children first. So women experience fasting, but they probably experience it a lot less than men did. Men are definitely built a little bit more for fasting than women are. And I think that the best way to do it in modern day, because we are not subjected to being able to find a deer, is you could line it up with your cycles. So yeah, I think like the first and third week of your cycles would probably be the best time. I mean, your luteal phase really is kind of like it's like the fall and the winter. It is like fasting kind of.
Mm-hmm. So you're saying that's the best time, the luteal phase, to like cut.
That's when you crave the carbs the most, though.
I do. It's interesting you say that, though, but there's always like this one or two days where I'm not hungry.
Yeah.
Do you feel that?
Yeah.
Especially Rochelle tells me that, too. Like there's always like this small window where it's like, I really could go all day without eating.
Yeah, 100%.
Not intentionally.
Yeah.
But, like,
it's not as hungry.
I'm just not. And it's not because I'm busy or not because I'm whatever, distracted. Yeah. Like, I'm like, I'm not that hungry today. And like, I do eat very little.
I feel like I'm the hungriest on my period and when I'm ovulating. Those are probably when I'm the
ovulating.
And those are just such important biological functions. Like you have to support those, you know? So.
All right. Amazing. Any other questions you want to ask him?
I feel like that was so helpful.
Yeah. So helpful. I mean, it really helps us break down, like, and understand like why seasonally is so important and gets us in the mindset of like, okay, what is it going to look like the next couple months? And they look different. And I think you also talked to, hopefully gives people a little bit more understanding or context as to why they're feeling the same way that they're feeling. And I also want to say, like, there's no judgment or like on you. Like, if you are like, there's still moments like where we're not perfect either.
No, definitely not.
But I do. It's crazy. I feel a significant change, especially when we did add the candlelights. I was like, wow, I feel so good. And like waking up to a shower after candlelight is like so nice. Or even going to bed with a candlelight, I'm like, it does. You can just instantly feel like your eye. For me, it's always my eyeballs.
Mm-hmm.
Like these two little things, like you can tell when they're exhausted. And I'm like, oh, they're just so relaxed right now.
Even just not looking at our phones in the morning. We've talked about that has been a huge shift of how I carry myself through my day.
Totally.
And how I feel.
Totally.
Yeah.
All right. Well, yeah. Thank you so much, babe, for breaking that down. Now, one of the things that I guess we asked you this already, but
we'll ask you again.
And whatever's present here, but present today more than anything, that we ask all of our guests that have come onto the podcast, like in this season, today, where you are at, wherever that is for you, where can you be more fully expressed or where do you feel more called to be?
We could tailor it to health. Like,
yeah, anything.
If it's in general, whatever pops in.
Health, life, relationships, business. Yeah. Pick a card.
There's always more than one.
Yeah, I mean, I think in light of the like podcasts today and like the session that we've had, like I'd really love to be more expressed as a teacher, you know, getting to take difficult concepts and make them actionable and like reasonable for most people, because like I think about this stuff on such a deep level all the time, and so like taking all of these thoughts and these like mini experiments that I've done on myself over the years and be like, boil it down to melatonin is the vitamin D of the wintertime. And like sunlight during the summer.
I didn't know that. That was so helpful. I had never heard that.
Yeah.
And I think it's your teaching style.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You're just teaching a concept, which is so cool.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think when I am fully expressed as a teacher, that's really like when I'm operating my greatest strength.
Yeah, I agree. Well, we're so excited for you to step into this teacher role, and thanks for educating us. I think you always bring so much context, or like, you also say terms that I'm like, what was that? Like, there was some word that you said. It was like PR, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, okay. But I get when, even when you say big words, I still get what you're trying to say.
You explain it very well.
Yeah. It's very well done. So thank you.
Yeah.
Thanks for having me.
You said before, but where can everybody find you?
I am Nick_Belletto on, I think, all of the important platforms, but Twitter and Threads is where I've been hanging out the most, because I don't have to do a stupid reel. I can just post. I can just teach.
We're going to put them on TikTok. I see it already.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just step into that teacher role.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so, people can work with you one-on-one.
Yeah. You can work with me one-on-one.
You can help them through the winter.
Yeah. I mean, really, like.
And the summer.
And the fall.
It's such
and
a beautiful.
And the spring. We all need help. Help us out.
It's such a beautiful cycle, like what you do in the winter. Like, we didn't even get to talk about all the science, but like, I'll throw out one thing is like the autophagy. Like, people love to talk about that and relate it to fasting. And like, fasting is a good tool for that, but really the winter is the best tool for that. And so like, if you don't do the winter right, then you go into summer and then you fuck yourself. So like how well you do in the summer is based on how well you do in the winter and vice versa. Like if you don't embrace summer, you're not going to want to fast in the winter because you didn't eat all summer.
I think it's great actually to point that out because in today's society, everything is now. And I feel that was a big life lesson for me, just in intuitive eating in certain area, in so many areas of life, but specifically wellness, that it's a long-term game. Like if you're vitamin D deficient, 30 days of vitamin D supplements isn't going to get you that vitamin D back, you know? And I think speaking to that and like understanding we need to think the long game and that each season impacts the next one is so such a powerful like thing to say. I love that.
Yeah. Alzheimer's you develop in your 70s, started in your 20s.
Literally.
You know? So.
And there's so much. And they build on top of each other is what I want to say. You know what I mean? So like I'm learning this new relationship with the fall in regards to, I started last year, like really welcoming the fall, really talking about rebirth. So then I can feel the highs of summer, you know, versus expecting myself to be consistent. Like as much as we want things fast, I think we also expect ourselves to be the same all the time. And in the lesson of, we even talked about it with Rochelle, right?
Like, yeah.
The amount of darkness that you allow yourself to feel, the amount of light that you also welcome. And it's the same thing here, right? Where you're literally saying like, the more darkness that you receive in the wintertime by getting more sleep, you're going to receive so much more light and sunlight and absorb it even better in the summertime.
And even Dr. Maritz has said that too, is like, especially as women, but like we are literally like robbing Peter to pay Paul with our 20s. And if we can get people to start thinking about all of this stuff now when we're still young, exactly as you said, like the Alzheimer's won't come. We won't spend years in hidden inflammation where it's just an ache or pain, but really it's like building over time and compounding to lead us to sickness.
Yeah.
This is awesome. Thank you.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much for coming on. It's such a pleasure. Even though I live with you, I still learn things.
I love it.
That was another one. Okay, great. So appreciate you and we love you and thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much for tuning in. We really appreciate you being here. If you enjoyed this episode, we'd be grateful if you could leave us a review and share it with a friend.
Also, we would love to hear from you. Reach out to us on Instagram and let us know where you feel inspired to express yourself as you embrace this next era. We are here to support you and encourage you.
See you on the next one.